It's easy to let our circumstances trap us and leave us feeling overwhelmed and wanting to quit. But it doesn't have to be that way. It is possible to live a life filled with joy and look forward to what's coming next. A life set to prosper and not to fail. A life filled with hope and a future.
Today, I just want us to realize, you know what, we all have this tendency to get overwhelmed when it comes to fear, when it comes to stress, when it comes to anxiety, when it comes to the pace of our life. We all have this tendency. We all battle with it. We all get to this point that we can be overwhelmed. So I was thinking this week of just the many different times in my life that I could be overwhelmed. And I could name some, just like they named in the video. But for some reason, this one came out, kept coming to mind. And it was, I was on this trip, mission trip into the Philippines. And whether you've been to another country or not, you know, you don't even have to usually go to another country to realize just how blessed we are in the United States and just realize how much we have. And so just driving down the road there or someone is driving you, and honestly, that gives me a little anxiety because I'd rather drive myself because then I'll feel like I have a little bit more control. And so we're driving along, and when you're there, you can see all the different houses and the different things that they live in that are just so very different from the homes that we live in. But also, for some strange reason, they don't want to take American money. I don't really know what it is. And so you actually have to go in and you have to exchange your American money for the Filipino money so that you can actually buy things. And so I'll never forget, they drove us up to the bank, and we walk up to the bank. And when you go to the bank, the door is locked. And two security guards come to the front door, and they're carrying these machine guns. And you're like, I don't really know if I need to exchange money today or not. And they unlock the door, and they let you in, and then they lock the door behind you. And you're like, there's two guys with machine guns, and I can't get out of here because the doors are locked. So you exchange your money, and just that whole experience just made me just a little bit nervous, made me a little bit anxiety. And I can remember going then to eat, and then you walk around the corner after dark, and there's a guy with a machine gun. In Texas, that would scare me to death. There, I was still kind of taken back a little bit. They were just standing there guarding. So then it came time, though, that we need to exchange our money again. I'll never forget the guy who was driving us around everywhere we need to go. He pulls up. He points at this van. The best thing I can describe it is like a UPS-type truck. He said, that's where you're going to exchange your money. And I thought, I think I'd rather go back to the bank. And so we get out, and outside next to the little school bus-type door that's cut into the UPS-looking truck, there's a guy with a machine gun. And they say, you just go right up in here. And as I step up, there's another guy with a machine gun. And he says, line up on this bench right here. And so then there's a guy at the door. There's a guy standing in front of me. And there's a guy at the back of the deal. There's three guys with machine guns in there. And I'm thinking, I just want to exchange my money and get out of here. And so then there's different people there. And so it began to get closer to my turn to exchange my money. And the closer I got, the more I thought, I sure hope this money that I have is not counterfeit. And all I could think was, and kept reminding myself was, okay, I got this out of my own bank. Surely my own bank will not give me fake money. Because if this is fake money, I just don't know that I'm going to get off of this truck to ever see my family again. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that is really the things that are running through my mind. And sometimes it probably was probably the safest place I could have been, because guess what? There was nobody else going to barge on there and try to hurt me, because there was guys there to protect me with machine guns everywhere. But I was so anxious and so nervous and really just getting to the point of being overwhelmed. And our overwhelming circumstances will always overwhelm us if we let it. You know, when I think about how they guarded their money and they made sure everything was safe, there's really only one, there's not too many things that I can think of in my house that I guard like that. That I guard so carefully with so much security and everything else. The only thing that I really honestly just kept coming to my mind that I guard like that so well is Girl Scout cookies. And I know I'm not the only one, because, you know, the cookie season only comes around once a year. And so in my house, we buy different cookies, and like I'll buy my few boxes that I like, and I'll buy the boys a few boxes that they like, and I'll buy Amy a few boxes that they like. But these are my cookies. So you eat your box, and you leave my box alone. But in my house, it never fails. Someone is going to finish their cookie box faster than someone else. And so when they do, they want to get into somebody else's cookies. And so if you don't want someone to get into your cookies, it's like you've got to hide them. Because, you know, when you have two boys and a wife, they just want to get into your cookies. Because, okay, honestly, it's probably me getting into their cookies. But sometimes I'm thinking that I really wouldn't mind buying this lock and putting on our pantry just during Girl Scout cookie season so that I'm the only one that has a key to it, so I can guard the Girl Scout cookies and I can be the only one to get to them. And what I want us to realize this morning is, you know, we have this tendency when we get overwhelmed to become very guarded. We tend to keep people away from us. We kind of push them away. We want to keep them at arm's distance. We don't want to get them really, really allow them to get close. We want to keep them out. And we become guarded instead of guarding. And when we're guarded, we're just pushing people away. We're keeping people at a distance. But Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And sometimes I think we become so guarded that we're not truly guarding our heart the way that the Scripture talks about. We push people away, yeah, but truly guarding the things that really affect us and get to it. And I read this Scripture, and honestly, what I was thinking about, it was, if we would guard our heart like we do the Girl Scout cookies, how things would actually be so much different. Because it says, above all else, above anything else that you do, above everything else that's going on in your life, above all the craziness that's happened, guard your heart. For everything that you do, it flows from it. And so when we become overwhelmed, when we don't guard our heart, everything that happens, it flows from our heart. And so when we lose our temper, when we're going crazy, and with all these different things and the things and the words and the things that are happening and taking place, it's coming straight from our heart. And as he writes in Proverbs here, it says, "But above all things else, guard your heart." And I just wonder often that we're not more worried about our Girl Scout cookies. We're not worried about our money. We're more worried about other things. And we're not so worried about guarding our heart. But you know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter writes, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." You know what? Why do we need to guard our heart? Is because Satan's out there. He's like this roaring lion. He's looking and he's seeking and he's doing everything he can to devour you. You know, I just looked up the word devour just in the dictionary. Here's what it says: to engulf or swallow up, to use up, to be preoccupied, or to consume. And when I read that dictionary, the definition of that in the dictionary, I couldn't help but to think that sounds a lot like being overwhelmed. It sounds a lot like when I'm engulfed, when I'm just swallowed up, and I'm just feeling like I've just got so much that's just surrounding me, when I'm used up, when I'm just at the end of my rope, when I'm preoccupied, when I'm just totally consumed. The word devour just comes across the meaning a lot like the word overwhelmed. But what I realize here is, he goes ahead and he says, stay alert in that scripture. And then when he says, stay alert, he's saying, you know what, you're overwhelmed. And when we're overwhelmed, we turn inward and we're thinking about everything that's going on. He said, you've got to pay attention to what's going on. Because if Satan is willing to take on Jesus, then he's willing to take on you. And if you look in Matthew, Jesus went out into the wilderness and he had been fasting, it says, for 40 days. And he'd been praying and he was alone. And Satan saw that opportunity to attack Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 4, it says, Satan just said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." He knew Jesus was hungry. He knew what was going to be on his mind. And so Satan just like, "Hey, if you're really who you say you are, just show me, just turn these stones." And Jesus quotes him some scriptures. But Satan's not finished. And he goes at it again and he says, "The devil took him to the holy city of Jerusalem and the highest point of the temple, and he said, 'If you are the Son of God, then jump off. So he takes him up and he's able to look at the whole city. And if you're God, if you're really who you say you are, then just jump off, because the scriptures say, if you're really who you say you are, the angels are going to take care of you. And again, Jesus quotes scriptures to the devil. And then he takes him and it says, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will just kneel down and worship me. And again, I realize Satan's not lazy. He's going to continue to seek, and he's going to continue to do everything he can, because he wants to devour you. He wants you to be overwhelmed. He wants your heart not to be guarded, because he knows everything that flows from our heart will show people who we are. And so if he can get us overwhelmed and he can devour us, things are going to change. And so he just continues to come after us and come after us. And then it says there, it says, then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. And what that shows me is Jesus was at this point where he was tired. He was hungry. We see his human side, and the angels came and took care of him. And I think a lot of times when I would think the angels would need to come and take care of me when I'm just totally overwhelmed, it's when I'm at that point that Satan has just overwhelmed me. He's beginning to devour me, that I'm right there just ready just to throw in the towel. And Satan uses a lot of different tactics. And one thing that he does is he uses deception. He wants to deceive us. And if he can get us to believe something. And so we see it right at the very beginning in Adam and Eve. They're there in the garden and God told them, don't eat of the one tree. And what is that? What does the devil do? He says, it's really not that big of a deal. If you eat this one, you're just going to be wise. And God doesn't really want you to be wise. Doesn't it look good? And he deceives them right then and there. And I think Satan a lot of times uses those same types of deceptions on us. He gives us these false promises. He gives us these empty promises. And when we are overwhelmed, we're more likely to be deceived. And he just wants to trip us up, and he wants us to believe some different things. And he just wants us to think of all these different things that are going on. And he just wants us to fall for it and just really to believe it. And I wonder sometimes as he tries to tell us these different things and he tries to convince us of all these different things, what do we actually fall for? Because I believe as Satan's out there and if we're even beginning to think that we might be overwhelmed, then he's trying to deceive you on something. He's trying to tell you that you're not worthy, that you messed up too much, that God is not as much as you think, as good as you are saying God is. Well, why would God allow that to happen to you? And he would tell you anything to deceive you, to turn your eyes away from him. But not only that, Satan also uses his tactic of division. He will attack your family. He will attack your relationships. He will attack your church. He will attack you at your work. He will do everything that he can to try to cause division in your relationships and in your life. And if there are any signs of division, or if there is a division going on in your life right now, then let me tell you, that's because Satan is attacking you. And you can look back at that scripture and he says, he's out there like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, looking for that person. So if you feel just a little bit of that division, then that should be that red flag that's saying, wait a minute, that is Satan out there. He is trying to cause some problems. He's out there, and if I'm not careful, he's going to end up devouring me. And if that doesn't work, then he's going to try a diversion. Because you know what? If he can say, hey, if you'll look over here, then I can go around over here, and I can get your attention on something totally else, and you're going to fall for it, and I'm going to be able to sneak up right behind you. I'm going to be right in the middle of your life, and you're never going to ever see it coming. And when we get busy, it seems to be that time that Satan can use a lot of different things as that diversion. And he just slides right on into our life. And our anxieties and our fears, I believe they also serve as these distractions. So if he can get us to be able to fear things and cause us anxiety in our life, then we become distracted. When we feel like there's too many things that are going on that we can't catch a break, or if there's just one more per comment that can be made that I'm just not sure that I can handle it, that's exactly where the devil wants you. Because he knows he's getting your attention on something else. And at the heart of diversion is that the devil wants us to focus on lesser things to avoid focusing on greater things. But if those don't work, another tactic that I use is discouragement. Anybody in here ever been discouraged? I know I have. And I know there's some weeks that go by that I just feel like discouragement just doesn't seem to stop. And for me, I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of times, it happens right after these really good moments in my life. And so it seems like I have this extreme high, but Satan comes along and I experience these extreme lows. And I'm extreming this discouragement and these different things that are going on in my life. And sometimes I experience them because I've just allowed myself to get tired and fatigued. Sometimes it's because I've messed up and I've done something wrong, so it's this personal failing. Sometimes it's just been a setback in life. Things just didn't go the way that I wanted, so now it's a setback, or there's these obstacles. There's just all these different things that are very common, but if I'm not careful, honestly, I can become discouraged. And when I'm discouraged, things are a lot worse than they really are. The thing that really, on a scale from 1 to 10, is maybe a 3, but when I'm feeling well, is now close to a 9 or a 10, because I'm discouraged and everything seems so much worse than it really is. And Satan does a good job of using that tactic on me, and maybe he uses that as a good tactic to use on you as well. But then another tactic that he also uses is a tactic of doubt. When I think about this tactic, a lot of times we think about Satan attacking our faith. And saying, is God really who he is? Why does God let bad things happen in our life? And yes, he does, and he causes this doubt in our life sometimes. But sometimes that's not the doubt that he goes after. It's, you're not a good enough parent. And he wants to cast doubt in your life that the decisions and the things that you're trying to do to raise your kids the best that you are, he wants to cast doubt in that so that you don't really know what you should do next. Or that mistake that you made at work, that's just you, and you're just not good enough, and you really don't deserve this job. You don't need that promotion. And he'll cast that doubt to make you doubt yourself. Or he'll cast the doubt, does that person really care about you? Because they didn't really have a lot to say today. And really was, they just didn't feel well. They were having a bad day. They were in a hurry. They needed to go somewhere else. They had things going on. But Satan will use it and say, cast a doubt so that he'll say, I don't really think that person cares. I don't really believe that's what's going on. Or I don't really fit in. Or this is really not taking place. And not only does he attack our faith, but he attacks all different areas of our life. And God does not want us to feel overwhelmed. He wants us to feel at peace. And the reason I can say that, because over and over again it talks about we serve the God of peace. He wants us to experience this peace in our life. And this way that we can, when we have this peace, we're more likely to trust him, to follow his guidance, and without getting just all the stress of getting in the way. When we're at peace, we feel empowered and we feel motivated. When we're at peace, we feel calm and content, and we feel like we can take on the world. But it also means that we're ready to get out there, and we're ready to spread the light of God. And we're ready to let other people know about him. That's why Satan is out there attacking us and seeking us to devour us, because he doesn't want us to live this life of peace. Because when we're living this life of peace, then we're out there about doing the things that God wants us to do. When I'm not at peace, I'm very focused on the immediate things that are going on in my life right now. I can't see past it. And so I think there's a lot of us right now that Satan's just really out there and he's trying to devour us. And he's using one of these tactics. And one of these tactics maybe are a little bit easier to get you at. Maybe you're just a little bit more distracted and you're like, ooh, squirrel. And so he's going to be over there and he can easily slot in. Maybe it's the discouragement that you fall for. And maybe it's one of the others, but he's out there trying to attack us. And in Philippians chapter 4, we read these scriptures last week. I just want us to read them again real quickly. In chapter 4, verse 4, says, and always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I read these scriptures, and we read these scriptures last week. We talked about these different ways that we can overcome this worry and this stress. We talked about overcoming worry with worship. We talked about overcoming worry with gentleness. We talked about overcoming worry with prayer and overcoming worry with gratitude. And there's all these different steps that you can take. But then he came to that last verse right there. And he just simply says, then you will experience God's peace. And so, you know, if you go back, if you weren't here and you listen to the things that we talked about last week, if we do those things, he says, then you will experience this peace that which exceeds anything you can understand. And his peace will help guard your hearts and your minds. When we can truly get to that point that we trust God and we're doing the things that we talked about last week, we can begin to experience this peace. And we can begin to see this, our hearts begin to be guarded. Because when we think about that scripture where it says, everything that flows out of it, guard your hearts. And we look at that scripture, and the reality is, what gets our attention will ultimately determine our direction. That's why Satan is out there seeking who he may devour. Because if he can get your attention on somewhere else, then that's the direction that you're going to be going. And Satan's direction is never going to be the direction that the Lord wants. Satan's direction is never going to be this peace that God is talking about. And your overwhelming circumstances will always be overwhelming if we allow them to be. And I wonder today, are we going to be overwhelmed? Or are we going to overcome? It's a decision that we really have to make. We have to realize what gets our attention will ultimately determine our direction. But that we truly can overcome. And I think that Paul truly understood this, because as I said last week, as he wrote those verses, he was in prison. It was a low time in his life. And he's able to still say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. But what I like is, that's not where Paul stopped writing. That wasn't the end of the letter. He actually goes on to say this, as we keep reading right there in verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. And it's as Paul is saying, wait, I know what I just said, but you have to listen just a little bit more. I want you to catch this. I want you to listen to this part. Don't miss it. That's kind of the way that I take it when he says, wait, there's just one more thing. He says, fix your thoughts on what are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And I read this, these scriptures, and he says, you know what? There's some certain things that we need to think about. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on the idea that God is great, that God is powerful, that God has the whole world in his hands, that God does love you, that God does care about you. Think on the things that are true, not on the things that might be true. It might have been true that I had some counterfeit money in my pocket, but it was highly unlikely. But that's all that I could think about. That's where my focus was. And many times I think that's where we mess up and we get stuck on, is I think about the things that might be true. And Paul's saying, but wait, fix your minds on what is true. What is taking place? What is the truth behind the things that are going on? Those things are the truth. The lies of the devil are what allows us to be overwhelmed. And then he goes on to say, think of those things that are honorable. You know, the opposite of honorable is shameful, sinful, dishonest, outrageous. And we think about just thinking about the things that are honorable, and we think about you just continue to look at those words there as he just kind of just keeps going. The things that are right, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And I think back to that scriptures where it says, guard your heart. And I think if what Paul's saying is here, hey, the first part that we talked about last week is do these things. And he says, but wait a minute. As you're doing those things, guard your heart. And guarding your heart, it means to think about these true, honorable, good, excellent things. And that's exactly what we need to be doing, because what gets our attention will determine our direction. And saw what Paul is saying here. He's saying by doing that, there's some things you need to do in your life. You need to have this time of reflection. You need to have this time that's just this time of quiet. Because when our life is busy and the world is noisy around us, it just seems to just suck the life right out of us. And Paul's saying, no, wait. When your life is busy and when the joy is being sucked right out of you, then it's time to stop and think about which things are true and lovely and good. And so what he's saying is there a time in your life that you're pausing and that you're really just spending some time alone with God? Because it's in those times that I can actually think about the things that are true and lovely and good. But when I'm living this fast-paced life and I'm trying to get the next thing done, honestly, I don't think about those things. I get distracted by a lot of things. But those times that I can sit down at a table, sit down somewhere, I can spend some time alone with God, that allows me to focus on those things that are good and honorable and pure. And I wonder sometimes if we don't get too big of a hurry to solve all our overwhelmed things and to do our checklist, that we forget this discipline of just reflection and time alone with God. And for me, the best way that I've found is journaling. And I just read a chapter and I just look for one verse that just really stands out to me in that chapter. And it never fails. God brings out this verse, and sometimes it's a verse I read many different times, and maybe it's a verse that I just saw totally differently. And it's like, wow. And God just really begins to speak to me in that verse. And for me, I just write that verse down word for word because I want to think about it. I want to reflect on it. I want that verse to seep into my mind through the day so that I can think about the good, true, and honorable things as the day goes on. And then I just write down the things that I see that are going on in that verse and in that chapter. And then I just write down the application, and I just write down, what is this verse telling me to do today? Maybe it's telling me to worship. Maybe it's telling me to speak to somebody. Maybe it's just telling me to be still and know that I'm God. And then I just write down our prayer. And I physically write out a small, short prayer. And I found that so beneficial to me, to allow me to think about the things that are true and honorable and good. But I have to take time to do that reflection. And I was talking to somebody this past week, and they said, when's the best time to read your Bible? And when's the best time to do this? You know what? I don't know that there's a best time. I just know the best time is a time that you actually do it. For me, I've learned if I don't do it in the morning, it probably won't happen. Because I'm going to go throw a ball with my kid. I'm going to need to help my wife with supper. Or I'm going to need to fix this. This broke. And it just seems to be everything that happens on. And if you're not careful, days go by. And then weeks can go by. And then months can go by. And you're wondering why you're overwhelmed. And you're wondering why you're thinking about all these other things that the Satan is using, all those different techniques. It's because we're really not sitting there thinking about the things that are good and honorable and perfect. And only through that, we need to have the discipline of rest. We are much more overwhelmed when we're fatigued. If you don't believe me, ask somebody who lives with you. that day that you stayed up way too late at night and you only got a few hours of sleep, I promise you, you may not know it, but everybody else in your house knows you're more irritable. Everybody else in your house knows it was a bad day. Everyone in your house is like, don't talk to Dad today. Leave him alone. But I've learned that's when I'm more open to the attacks of Satan. When I'm not getting the rest and taking care of myself the way that I'm supposed to. And that's when discouragement can set in because I'm weary. And God has built us this rest and the rest that we actually need. And one of the quickest ways to lose perspective is to cheat ourselves on this God-given switch of rest. And he told us this from the very beginning because even God said on the seventh day he rested. And how many times we look at Jesus' life, it says that he pulled away from the crowd, the times that he needed to be speaking to people, had things to do, to rest and to pray. And many times I focus so much on that time that Jesus pulled away that I always say, well, he pulled away and he prayed. There goes Jesus again. He's praying again. He's praying again. Man, I just wish I could pray as much as Jesus prays. But if you really read the words closely, there are times he pulled away just to rest. And yeah, he had times that he pulled away to pray, but we need both of those times in our life. If we're going to fight what Satan is saying and that he's out there seeking to devour us, if we're truly going to guard our heart, we've got to have both of those times in our life. If we're going to be able to think about the things that are good and honorable, we need both of those times. And I even think that we need to find this discipline of just recreation. And I think there's a difference between amusement and recreation. Sometimes I just have a hard time turning my mind off, that it just stays focused on work and it stays focused on the things that I need to get done and all the things that I wish I could get done. And it just never stops. And the reason I think there's a difference between amusement and recreation, you ever went on a vacation and you just wish that you had a vacation from your vacation? You were amused, but you didn't actually do the recreation that caused things to make you disengage from just the overwhelmness and the busyness and the craziness of life. And some of us, it's going to look all different. For some of us, it's getting outdoors, and for some of us, it's drawing, and for some of us, it's painting, and for some of us, it's just listening to music and going for a walk. But every one of us have these different things that cause us just to disconnect and let our mind rest. And when my mind begins to rest, guess what? I can again begin to think on the things that are good and true and honorable. But when my mind is not resting, I'm thinking about the things that are overwhelming me. I'm thinking about the problems. And I'm thinking about my to-do list. And not only that, and I think we also need the discipline of relationships. I think this one is so very, very, very important in our life that we need people in our lives, that we are in relationship with each other, that the very foundation that God built us around is that he built us for relationships. Before the world was even created, we see the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We already see this perfect togetherness, this unity. But in a world of just the social media and these fake connections many times, we've got to be intentional about building authentic, real, and true relationships. And it means taking quality times for our family members, but also taking quality time to be able to spend with some group of friends. And I think what happens, as I mentioned earlier, is many times we become guarded instead of guarding. And so we become guarded and we push away the very people that God placed in our life because we're guarded and we're stressed and we're overwhelmed. And we're guarding our time and our relationships. And God is saying, no, guard your heart. Actually, you need those people in your life. You need to actually take time and fit people into your life because I created you for relationships. And so we need to be careful that we're not guarded and that we're truly guarding our hearts. And I believe these personal payoffs are huge, because what gets our attention will ultimately determine our direction. And I looked at that scripture, Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. And I think for us to truly guard our heart, that we have to have some disciplines in our life. Because it is not natural for us to think about the things that are good and true and honorable. It's natural for us to think of the opposite. But I love that scripture at the very end, because then it says, keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me. Everything that you heard from me and saw me doing. It's like Paul is saying, oh, wait, everything that I've just said, everything that you've seen from me, keep doing it. Then the God of peace will be with you. I want the God of peace to be with me all the time. But sometimes I'm not doing and putting into the practice the things that Paul says here that it takes for me to experience that peace. And so today, I just ask you just to look into your own life and ask yourself your own questions. Is there one of those areas in your life that just begin to slip? Have you stopped just doing the recreation because I'm too busy to disconnect? Then you're not going to be thinking about good things. Has your time with God just begin to slip? Then you're probably not going to be thinking about good things and true and honorable. Has just that idea of relationships and I just don't have time for another relationship, then you're not going to be thinking about good things. And what about that rest that you so desperately need? Because Peter knew this well as well, because he said, stay alert. It's almost like he's saying, look at your life and see if you're practicing these disciplines. Because watch out, your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And Satan has every different way and every different angle, because he wants to devour you, and he wants to overwhelm you, and he does not want you to experience peace. And we're going to have an opportunity just to worship here in a minute, right? And so as Joshua comes, or David comes, and just lead us in this time of worship, I just want you to examine your own life. That when Peter writes and says, stay alert, ask yourself, am I really alert? When Paul says, I'm to think on all these great and mighty things and remind you all of these things, have I really been doing that? Because Proverbs says, above everything else, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. Guard your hearts.